Hello, everybody. It's Pastor Adam here. Let's get right to acknowledging God so we can get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for today. We ask for your blessings over our day. We ask that this word that we're going to hear, your word, sinks into our bone and marrow, Lord. It becomes such a part of us. It's like our breath. So we thank you, Father, for this. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, amen. All right, so I'm starting out with just a little story, I guess. It's kind of a funny story about a young son of a pastor. And he was in church one morning when he saw the first time baptism by immersion. He had never seen that before, and he was greatly interested in it. So the next morning, he proceeded to baptize his three cats in the bathtub. Now, there was a kitten, and the kitten was fine with it. And there was a younger cat, and a younger cat was fine with it. But the older cat, the older family cat, was very rebellious. The old feline struggled with the boy, clawed the boy, tore his skin, and finally got away. Now, with considerable effort, the boy caught the old cat again and proceeded with the ceremony. But the cat acted worse than ever, clawing and hissing and scratching the boy's face. Finally, after barely getting the cat splattered with water, he dropped the cat on the floor in disgust and said, "Fine, be a Methodist if you want to." All right, so just a little funny there. But listen, the thing that I wanted to get across here, there are many of us that are curious and wondering, you know, why do Christians dunk people in the water? Why do they go under the water? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious by this time, most of us listening have at least taken a bath one time or gone swimming. So why is this different, and what makes this so important? Now, here's the things about water baptism. We don't do it to join a church. It's not the way we receive salvation. Because we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I know many times people ask, well, you know, why don't we just sprinkle water on people? Or why not just draw a cross of water on someone's head? Like I've seen other denominations or other types of Christians do that. And this topic always makes me think about the Hebrews and what they experienced when they were, you know, being freed from their bondage in Egypt when they had the Red Sea in front of them, right? I'm pretty sure there must have been a helpless feeling when the Israelites walked through the water seeing the past coming after them, right? The waters parted and they walked on the bottom of the Red Sea. The waters are up on its side, on both sides, but the Egyptian army was coming after them. But when they came up out of the water and the waters rushed back, they had a brand new life in a new land. In fact, in the New Testament, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, the Word of God says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you are also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead." Or in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, where Scripture tells us, well, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Jesus like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Right? Thus says the word of the Lord there. See, so I want to emphasize that what Colossians 2:12 said, this buried with Jesus through baptism, okay? Now the New Testament was originally written in the Greek language. And the word in the Greek that was used there is baptizo, which means to plunge under, to dip, or immerse. Now, there are two Greek words, rantizo and ekio, that are translated for sprinkle with water. Now, neither of those words are found in the scriptures in relation to baptism. So, in other words, the scriptures tell us to fully immerse or fully put oneself under the water when baptizing. So, I'm just sharing this. This is why it should be crystal clear to us. If our goal is to follow the teachings of the Word of God regarding everything, but in this specific case, water baptism, full immersion is what the scriptures directs us to do. Okay, I just want to put that, that should be the end of the discussion. Now, I want to continue to find answers about this topic, though, because there's more interesting things, right? And I think the next obvious question would be, well, who should water baptize? Who should be water baptized? Okay, not who should do it, but who should be water baptized? Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verses 36 and 41 is where we're going to go for this. Here's what the scriptures tell us. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, Peter warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted the message Peter was saying were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Amen. So, in other words, everyone who was able to accept the message that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of their life should be water baptized. Now, a wonderful and simple example that explains the meaning of baptizo is a text from a Greek poet and physician named Nicander. He lived about 200 BC, 200 years before the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And what's interesting about this is that it's a recipe for turning a cucumber into a pickle. Nicander says that in order to make a pickle, the cucumber should first be dipped, or bapto, that's in the Greek is the word bapto, into boiling water, and then baptizo, or baptized, in the vinegar solution. Now, both of these verbs concern the immersing of a cucumber in a solution, but the first is temporary. The second one, the act of baptizing the cucumber, produces a permanent change. So when we use that analogy in the New Testament, this word more often refers to our union and identification with Christ rather than to our baptism. For example, Mark 16, verse 16, says, Jesus is speaking and he says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Jesus is saying here that mere intellectual assent is not enough. There must be a union with him, a real change, like the cucumber changing to the pickle. So, okay, that I think naturally leads to a very popular question so many have asked through the ages. And this is the question. Well, do I have to be water baptized in order to be saved? Well, let's go to Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Scripture tells us there, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. He said, "Don't you fear God? Since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Ye Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth today. You will be with me in paradise." Well, there you go. I mean, so if you're wondering if you have to be water baptized to be saved, this answers that, because this criminal being crucified next to Jesus wasn't water baptized before his death. Okay, so maybe the question we should be asking ourselves is, am I nailed down like this criminal was that was baptized but joined Jesus in paradise? I mean, I guess, folks, what I'm saying is, why would any one of us chance it? I look at water baptism this way. I think it's a lot like a wedding ring. Baptism is a symbol of the washing away of our sins. It's also symbolic of a new way of life that one is proclaiming publicly. It's an outward display of the inward change. It has been said that baptism is to the Christian faith what the wedding ring is to the marriage. It's a symbol. Like a wedding ring, baptism draws a mark on the ground between the past and the future. Like a wedding ring, it says, from this day forward, I am in covenant with God. In other words, we publicly admit and display outwardly a covenant of marriage with God. Or here's another, like, I think this is kind of like a neat little story. There was this little boy and he asked this pastor, he said, hey, when can I get advertised? I mean, he meant baptized, but the little boy made the right point, because baptism is like advertising that you're a Christian. I'll tell you a story about a pretty well-known sports personality named Pat Summerall. I mean, he spent 50 years, mainly his entire adult life, involved in and with football, with the National Football League. I mean, he was drafted by the Detroit Lions in 1952, played with the Chicago Cardinals and the New York Giants until 1961. After his retirement from the game, he joined the CBS TV network as a broadcaster. And in 1993, he switched to the Fox broadcast team. And during his years at CBS, he and fellow broadcasters partied very hard off the field. Summerall said this, he goes, we raised Cain. I was the first guy at the bar and the last to leave the bar. Summerall was told that if he kept up this lifestyle of drinking alcohol, he would be dead very soon. So he checked himself into the Betty Ford Clinic, and his counselor urged him to seek a better life through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, at this time, Pat Summerall was 64 years old when he got baptized. In the newspaper, the USA Today, he told a reporter that when the minister leaned me back in the water, he said, I never felt so helpless. Then Summerall testified, I knew I just became a Christian. I can't tell you how great life has been since then. Hallelujah. So, you know, in the scriptures, we know about this guy, John the Baptist. He comes to the River Jordan to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This was in fulfillment of the words of a prophecy written 800 years prior by Isaiah, recorded in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. So, along with this call to repentance, John the Baptist gave a solemn warning. He said, and he said this, back in John the Baptist's time, baptism was the way by which other nations were initiated into the Jewish faith, okay? However, even the Jews needed the remission of sin, right? As scripture teaches, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's taken right from Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. So John warned those that were listening to him not to rely on their descent from Abraham, not to say you're not saved because you're Jewish. You still need to repent of your sins. I mean, it's a folly for anyone to imagine that they might have peace with God by any other way than that which God provided. In other words, just because we come from a Christian background, we cannot rely on the faith of our parents. Each one of us must ourselves repent and look for Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. It is not enough if we just occasionally listen to the preaching of God's word. And there were doubtlessly some who came to hear John the Baptist because of the novelty of it. Well, that message is still like going on today, that same kind of ideology. We must each repent of our sins and live our lives accordingly then. One of the evidence of true repentance is the change that takes place in our lives. I mean, if we're sincere in our desire for forgiveness, we will also be willing to replace the old bad deeds with present good deeds. For instance, John, right? John the Baptist encouraged the rich to share with the poor. In other words, a truly repentant heart will be marked out by a new generosity of spirit. The early church in the book of Luke tells us, Luke tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 32, that they shared all things in common. John told the tax collectors to end their corruption. He sanctioned against bearing false witness. He's like, stop lying, right? He warned them to be content with their wages. So, and the people were so impressed with John, right? John the Baptist, that they began to wonder if he was the Messiah, the anointed Savior that was promised long ago by Yahweh. And John responded by saying, and he didn't point to himself. He said, no. And this is what we need to continue is follow John the Baptist's way and say, I'm not the Savior, right? All of us saints of God need to point to Jesus. Don't take credit for things that Jesus has done, right? The message of the gospel is not about you and I. It's all about Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist humbly acknowledged that he was unworthy even to stoop down and untie the sandals of Jesus Christ. So, you know, John the Baptist, he was astonished when Jesus came to him to be baptized. I mean, Jesus is the one whom John had been earlier pointing out to his disciples with these words. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's recorded in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29, and the book of John, chapter 1, verse 36. John the Baptist is saying, this is the one who was able to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This symbolic cleansing of water baptism is an outward symbol of an inner reality. It is Jesus Christ who endows us with his Holy Spirit and purifies us from our sins. It is also Jesus who will come as judge at the end of the age. Matthew, in the book of Matthew tells us that John even tried to stop Jesus from being baptized. Let's read this. It's in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. We read here, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. So in submitting to this rite of baptism, Jesus was also setting an example of obedience for his followers. Which, there you go, that should convince us all of the importance of water baptism. So if you've been wondering if you should do this act, this water baptism act, and you haven't been fully immersed, well, I think we should see now we've made a pretty good case, a good reason to do it, because Jesus Christ did it. That should be all it takes. And oh yes, if you didn't catch it, Jesus came up out of the water. So in other words, he was fully immersed. So if you still aren't sure about this water baptism thing, let's not forget that Jesus commanded us to do it. Matthew 28, the end of Matthew's gospel, verses 18 to 20. Right before Jesus is ascending, he comes to them and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I guess a way to say it is being water baptized is simply obedience. Now, we all need to decide whether we're going to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. For many of us listening to this, this was the turning point in our lives. Here's a declaration about baptism that I personally enjoy from Martin Dehan, who co-authored the devotional called Our Daily Bread. Maybe you've read that, you know, Our Daily Bread. Well, he was co-author of it, this Martin Dehan guy. And here's what he says. In the early days of the church, baptism was a declaration that the believer was definitely identifying himself with that group of people who were called Christians and were despised and hated. In other words, to be a Christian really meant something. To identify with those who were called Christians meant persecution and maybe even death. It meant being ostracized from your family and shunned by your friends. And that one act, which was the final declaration of this identification, is water baptism. As long as a person gathered with Christians, they were tolerated. But when they submitted to water baptism, they were declaring to all of the world that I belong to this despised group. And immediately they were persecuted, hated, and despised. I mean, folks, therefore in this water baptism, the believer entered into the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. I mean, a person might be a believer and keep it strictly a secret and thus would avoid, you know, all the unpleasantness and suffering. But once they submitted to public water baptism, they had burned their bridges behind them. I mean, I just kind of love the summation of water baptism here. In other words, baptism is a strong public declaration of faith. Listen to what our Lord and Savior says himself that's recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." Oh, wow. So, I mean, if you still don't grasp the significance, let me give a final reason to be water baptized. And the reason is it's important to God. It's important to Father God. It's recorded in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. So this is a long bit of scripture, but stay with me. It's Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked him. 'How can I,' the man said, 'unless someone explains it to me?' So the man invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture." Here's what he was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." So the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Holy cow. I mean, we rarely talk about that. I mean, after this obedient act that Philip did with this eunuch, I mean, there it is. They get water baptized, but my gosh, Philip was carried away. Like, just like what? I don't know. I mean, he's just like was it like Star Trek? He was just beamed up and goes to this other area and he appears at Ozatos? But I mean, just look at that. But you see where the eunuch read and then obeyed? They saw some water. Let's do it right now. I have one final story before I bring this to a close, folks. There was this machinist at the Ford Motor Company in Detroit who became a Christian. He responded to the invitation of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone and was water baptized. As the Holy Spirit began renewing this man, he became convicted of his need to make restitution for some parts and tools he had stolen from the company prior to becoming a Christian. Oh, I love this story, right? So the next morning, he brought all the tools and parts back to his employer. He explained how he had just been water baptized and asked for his foreman's forgiveness. This was like such an amazing turn of events that Mr. Ford, who was visiting a plant in Europe at the time, was cabled with the details about this matter and was asked what he wanted to do with this man. Mr. Ford immediately returned to cable with his decision. He said, "Dam up the Detroit River and baptize the entire city." Ha ha, isn't that cool? Amen to that, right? Now, The reasons for Christians not participating in water baptism are varied, right? Such as, you know, I was baptized before I even know what was going on, like when you were a baby. So, right? You know, other reasons, so you figure you don't have to do it anymore. Others are, you know, maybe you're just afraid of water. Maybe you have afraid of being in the public eye. Or maybe it's just pride. Well, here's the point. Regardless, whatever the reason you've concluded, if you haven't been immersed in water baptism, I want to encourage you to meet your church leader in the water at the next water baptism opportunity and obey the Lord. That's it. God bless you. Until next time.